The FBI in Peace and War. The FBI in Peace and War is brought to you by healthful, delicious Wrigley's Spearmint Gum. Enjoy chewing Wrigley's Spearmint every day, as millions do. The lively, long-lasting flavor freshens your mouth and sweetens your breath. The pleasant chewing eases tension, helps you feel better, and get more enjoyment out of what you're doing. Another great story based on Frederick L. Collins' copyrighted book, The FBI in Peace and War. Drama, thrills, action. Tonight's story, Willpower.
All right, driver, I'll get out here.
Mister, you sure this is the place you want?
1504 Avenue L, isn't it?
Oh, it's a house number. You give me okay. I only meant, a gent like you in this kind of neighborhood. I'm sorry,
That's all right. Not all a man's clients can afford Park Avenue. Well, here you are. Keep the change.
Oh, thank you, mister. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, who is it?
Mr. Merritt. Walter Merritt, I spoke with you on the phone.
Just a minute. I wasn't sure it was you.
Well, who'd you expect?
Bill collector, process server, lawyer.
I'm a lawyer.
Difference. Come in.
You?
This way. All right, grab yourself a chair. You drink rye?
Not this time of morning. You go ahead.
Well, I can use one, I'll tell you that. Last night was a bit rugged, you know what I mean? Oh, sit down.
Thank you.
Yeah, pretty rugged. And then hearing from you how Alex kicked off and all that. Not even a short one?
Oh, I think not.
Poor Alex, that was a shock to me, all right.
Yes, it must have been.
Heart disease, you said?
That's right, inoperative.
Poor Alex. But I don't guess you come over here to exchange condolences.
No.
Well, what then? Say, how did you find me in the first place?
I think that's unimportant, don't you? And we'll both save time if I do the talking.
Okay, go ahead.
Thank you. Now, according to my information, you were still married to the late Mr. Alexander in 1937.
Yeah.
He didn't obtain a divorce until some 4 years later. You weren't represented in that action, were you?
No. Some character sent me a letter saying we were split. I didn't receive it for about, 6 months.
Yeah, I see. You were... knew he remarried since that time.
I heard somewhere, yeah. I also heard he made himself a bundle of money.
It's quite a bundle.
So, he's dead. Well, he can't take it with him.
No, he can't. That's why I'm here. How would you like to take some with you? Say, about $100,000 worth?
Huh?
I'm just asking if you'd like to have $100,000 as your share of the estate.
Stop talking like a five-star idiot.
I'm not.
Alex wouldn't leave me one penny. If you're his lawyer, you ought to know that.
I didn't say he left you anything.
What?
Miss Fogel, as executor of Mr. Alexander's estate, I feel morally bound...
Are you trying to tell me that I can get some of Alex's cash?
I'm trying to tell you you can get $100,000 if you do as I say.
You wouldn't fool me, mister.
Do I look like the type that fools?
No. It wouldn't be any trouble.
Not if you do as I say. Are you willing to do that?
Wait a minute. I gotta have another drink. Money's coming to me. I got a right to have
it. Are you willing to do as I say, Miss Virgo?
Are you kidding? For $100,000, mister, I guess I'm willing to do anything.
In the files of your FBI, there are many types of rackets running the gamut from quick money swindles to full-bodied schemes planned for high stakes. The latter type was practiced by an unscrupulous attorney named Walter Merritt, who worked each scheme as thoroughly as the most intricate courtroom defense. Shortly after the death of the wealthy client, Merritt would communicate with a person carefully screened out of his client's past. And shortly after that, the carefully screened person would communicate with the client's sole beneficiary.
Yes, ma'am?
My name's Edna Fergal. I want to speak to Mrs. Alexander on a personal matter.
Well, won't you come in, please? I'll tell my mother you're here.
And here's our old marriage license, just in case you think we wasn't really hitched. Here, you can look at it.
I believe you're what you say, Mrs. Fergal.
Miss Fergal. I never married again after poor Alex and me come apart. Fergal, that's my maiden name. Also, Alex had an appendix scar right here that...
I said I believe you. Now, what do you want?
Well, it's like I said, Mrs. Alexander. I've come a long ways to get here.
Do you want to visit the grave, Miss Fergal? Is that it?
No, ma'am. No, I don't think I could stand it seeing poor Alex put away like that and all.
No, I'm sure you couldn't. Alex told me how much you cared for him.
Oh, he did?
Exactly how much. Also, how you walked out on him when he was down and out. The only thing he didn't tell me was that you were still alive.
Oh, is that right?
He said you were dead. And as far as I can see...
Far as you can see, I'm still alive. I know my rights, Mrs. Alexander. I'm going to contest poor Alex's will.
What?
I'm going to contest. He loved me, Alex did. I never should have let him go. All the time I've been away from him, I've been thinking of the moment I'd come back.
All the time? For 16 years?
I loved him, Mrs. Alexander, just like he loved me. And to think that I got here too late. Too late.
Did you come here for my husband or for a substantial settlement on his estate?
Why, I don't know how you can think a thing like that, ma'am. Honest, I don't. If I didn't know that you were upset over poor Alex...
Miss Fergal...
If I didn't know
you
that...
You did come here for a settlement, didn't you?
Huh?
Didn't you?
Well, what if I did? I got my rights, haven't I?
No. You have no rights, Miss Fergal.
You're forgetting something, ain't you, sweetie?
I don't think so.
Well, think some more. That young fellow who answered the door, he don't look so very much like you now, does he?
What?
He don't, does he? Even though he called you Mama, he don't. Matter of fact, I kind of noticed the kid looked a lot like me.
Alex is my son.
One thing, sweetie, don't never try that act on stage.
You get out of here. Get out right now.
Well, maybe I'm too late for poor Alex. But I'm not too late to reunion with my boy. Of course, he's got a nice setup here, and I could be
get
persuaded.
Out. Get out of here, do you hear me?
I hear you, and I'm getting, but I'll be back. You just think it over, Mrs. Alexander. I showed you the marriage certificate. Next time, I'll bring along the birth. Yeah, you think it over. I'll be back.
Back to Willpower in just a moment. You know, friends, one reason you'll enjoy chewing Wrigley's Spearmint Gum is that it helps to keep your mouth feeling so fresh and clean. The lively, full-bodied flavor of Wrigley's Spearmint is really cooling and refreshing. Besides, the chewing itself gives you comfort because it helps to keep your mouth and throat pleasingly moist. Helps keep your teeth clean and bright, too. Try it and see for yourself. Chew Wrigley's Spearmint Gum while you work, while driving your car, out walking, and in your home. See how this delicious chewing gum helps to keep your mouth feeling fresh, cool, and clean. That's Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum. Get some next time you go to the store. Act two of tonight's story on the FBI in Peace and War, Willpower.
Your FBI came into the case against Walter Merritt through the odd circumstance of revenue agents examining the tax return of a man named Harold Landau. Unable satisfactorily to explain the payment of a large sum of money to the ex-husband of his late wife, Landau had at last blurted out an unusual story of blackmail. The story was passed on to the Bureau, and when our preliminary investigation led us to Merritt, it was decided that Agent Reynolds would proceed with Step 2.
And you and Mrs. Reynolds are anxious to have this new will drawn up, I understand. Tell me...
Yes?
Who recommended my office to you, Mr. Reynolds? That is, unless you prefer...
No, that's quite all right. Mr. Landau recommended me, Mr. Harold Landau.
Harold Landau, yes, of course. One of my most valued clients. Well, naturally, I'll be very glad to draw the necessary documents for you, Mr. Reynolds. Why don't you drop back tomorrow with the essential papers I described and we...
Mr. Merritt.
Yes?
Mrs. Laura Alexander is here, sir.
Thank you, Miss Carter. Have her wait just a moment. Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Reynolds. I had this previous appointment.
Not at all. It's good of you to squeeze me in. Anyway, I believe we've covered the essential ground.
Yes, I believe we have. Your wife will be fully protected, I assure you. Just you leave it to me.
I'll do that, Mr. Merritt. Thank you. Tomorrow about this time?
About this time, fine. I'll see you then. Goodbye, sir.
Bye, Mr. Merritt. Thanks again.
All right, Laura. Will you come in now, please?
Hello, Walter. I'm so glad you can see me.
Over here, Dave.
Okay, Steve.
Did he go for it?
So far. I'm due back tomorrow. Where's the car?
Parking lot down the street. I want to call Mr. Andrews first.
Booth over there.
Mm-hmm. You use Landau's name.
Yes, Merritt will probably check with him. Are you sure?
He's going to cooperate all the way, Dave. Our file on Merritt was the clincher. You only got change of a quarter?
Help yourself.
Thanks.
File on Merritt?
Yes, and Mr. Andrews may have more to add on that from the Bar Association.
He's a legitimate attorney, isn't he, Steve?
But identification connected the name with a bad practice charge back in 37. They were checking with the association for us. Remind me, I owe you a dime.
Don't worry.
Of course, it could be another Walter Merritt and, hello, operator. Pardon me, Dave. I want to call Washington, please. Person to person, Mr. Andrews, the Federal Bureau of Investigation. All right, go on, Laura, please.
I don't know what more to tell you. As I say, all these years, I believed the woman was dead. If only Alex had told me, Walter.
Yes, I know. Don't get upset, my dear. We'll work this out. Frankly, I've been expecting it. I warned Alex.
You knew she was alive?
I knew. Alex made me promise never to tell, but...
Why, Walter? I can't understand why...
Can't you?
What?
No, I guess you can't. A woman like this is so far removed from you. Laura, perhaps I'm betraying a trust I don't know. Is an attorney a lawyer first or a human being?
Walter...
Edna Fergal walked out on Alex, Laura. Right after the baby was born. Without a word, she walked out. But not without the joint bank account, what little there was in it. He never told you because of young Alex. He wanted the boy to think of you as his mother. And the best way to handle that... Well...
Yes, I see. Just what are her rights, Walter?
Morally, none. I don't think any court would say different.
And legally?
Well, legally, I'm not so sure... After all, young Alex is her son.
He's my son, Walter. If ever two people belong to one another...
Well, of course, Laura, you don't have to tell me. As a friend, I agree with you completely. You know that. But as an attorney...
I see.
Well, naturally, we'll fight it. I'll use every weapon at my command.
Walter.
Yes?
I don't want to fight it.
What?
This woman doesn't care about her son. All she cares about is money. All right, let her have it.
But Alex
didn't want the boy to know his real mother. I want to carry out his wish.
But Laura... This is up to you, naturally. But I feel obliged to say I don't approve of such action.
As my attorney, Walter, or my friend?
As your attorney. As your friend. All I can say is I admire you very much.
Thanks. You're a good friend.
I'm an idiot. If I was a good friend, I'd tell you to fight this thing tooth and nail, no matter who you hurt. After all, if your own attorney won't protect you, who will?
If her own attorney won't protect her, who will? I love it.
Yes, I kind of thought that was a nice touch myself.
Yeah. And speaking of touches, how much do I hit her for? $100,000, no fooling?
You don't hit her for anything, at least not over the phone.
No?
You wait until you're in my office, so I can fight you desperately.
Fight?
Desperately. Until, of course, I realize it's a losing battle and reluctantly give in.
Oh, reluctantly, huh? Give her a run for her money, is that it?
That's it.
Say, Mr. Merritt.
Mm-hmm.
What do you get out of this?
What do you think?
Quarter of what I get?
A half of what you get.
What?
And if you have any objections to such an arrangement...
This is Alex.
Undoubtedly. Now, remember, let her do the talking. She's all set up.
Don't worry. Hello.
Hello, Miss Fergal. This is Mr.
I know who you are, sweetie. I've been expecting your call. You thought over our little conversation, right?
Yes, I thought it over.
So what time do I come over? You name it, I'll be there.
I thought it over very carefully, Miss Fergal. I spoke with my attorney. I spoke with someone else. I just called to tell you not to come at all.
Huh?
I'm not going to pay you any money, Miss Fergal. I've decided not to let you get away with this.
Listen, you, I... She hung up on me.
What? What's that?
Paul, set up, huh? What were you handing me? What kind of double talk was that?
What?
$100,000. She's not paying out one dime.
What are you talking about? That's impossible. She told me
I know. She told you and you told her. Well, she told
Wait. That's it.
What's it?
I told her. I told her too well.
Where are you going?
You're going. Maybe I oversold Laura, but you're selling her right back again. Here's your hat. Come on.
Selling her back
how? I'll tell you in the cab. She'll pay the $100,000. She'll pay. You'll see.
Back to willpower in just a moment. Friends, here's a modern, sensible way to satisfy that little hungry feeling you sometimes get between meals, especially when you want to go light. Chew a stick of refreshing, delicious Wrigley Spearmint Gum. You see, Wrigley Spearmint Gum is never rich or filling, yet it does satisfy your taste and give you that little pickup you want. Helps to tide you over until mealtime. It's one reason why Wrigley Spearmint Chewing Gum is the favorite between meal treat of millions. Always keep a package of Wrigley Spearmint Gum right with you. And when you get that little hungry feeling but want to go light, chew a stick of this good-tasting gum. That's Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum. Helpful, refreshing, delicious. Act 3 of tonight's story on the FBI in Peace and War... Willpower.
So this is the birth certificate, hmm?
This is the photostat. And don't blame me, sweetie. You asked for it.
And you intend to show it to Alex?
Uh-huh. As soon as Merritt gets here.
Mr. Merritt?
Yeah. In case my son isn't impressed with the record of his birth, I figured your attorney might straighten him out.
You would.
Oh, wouldn't I? Look, I'm not doing this for laughs, sweetie. Either you shell out $100,000 in folding money or...
Or what, Miss Fergal?
Huh?
We'll take that certificate for now, Miss Fergal. Thank you.
Say, what's the big idea? Just who do you think you are?
We don't think we're anybody, Miss Fergal. We know who we are.
They're agents, sweetie.
Agents?
FBI agents. What? Let's step into that room there, huh?
Now, wait a minute.
Yes?
That room there?
That room there.
I can explain this, you know.
Well, explain it in there.
Now, wait, that'll be...
Yes?
Nothing. In there.
Uh-huh. All right, Mrs. Alexander, you're on your own.
Now, look, this whole thing has nothing to do with me. As a matter of fact...
Hello, Laurie. Is she here yet?
What's the matter, Walt?
Well, she called you, didn't she? She said she did. That horrible woman that Alex was married to.
Sit down, dear. You're all upset.
Well, where is she, Laura? She told me over the phone
here, Walter, but I sent her away.
You did what?
I refused to pay her one penny.
Then she wasn't lying to me.
No. You were right, Walter. I thought about it a lot after you left yesterday.
So did I. That's why I called the woman. I thought perhaps she'd be reasonable, but after speaking with her, I knew that that was out of the question. Laura... I gave you bad advice, I admit it. A woman like that, there's no telling what she'll do.
What can she do?
Well, she... Huh?
If she wants to contest the will, let her. You'll fight it out for me. You said you would. You'll use every weapon at your command, you said.
Well, yes, but...
You did say that, didn't you?
Well, sure, I said it. What good's fighting if young Alex has to be dragged through the mud? You know what that could mean.
Yes, I know.
And here's something you don't know, Laura. She has his birth certificate. She told me so over the phone. If she ever shows that to the boy...
Walter.
I can't stand by and let that happen. I just can't. We've simply got to pay the miserable creature off and get rid of her. No two ways about it.
No, Walter, I'm afraid we can't. The matter's out of my hands now.
Oh, nonsense. I'll contact the woman personally.
I'm sorry.
You won't have to be. Just leave it to me to handle. I'm going all out on this, Laura. I'll go to the woman's home and settle this situation once and for all. Now, what do you say about that?
She says, why go to my home? The situation's going to be settled right here.
Miss Fergal.
As a matter of fact, it's already settled. These gents have seen to that.
Mr. Reynolds, what are you doing here?
Just what you said, Merritt. Settling the situation. Good work, Mrs. Alexander. We've got the whole conversation recorded.
Recorded? Now, just a minute.
What for? You told me to drop back to see you. Here I am.
Oh, I see.
I thought you would.
You really didn't come to my office to have a will drawn.
Not really.
You're a police officer, aren't you?
He's FBI. The both of them.
Come on, we might as well get started. This is an arrest?
You tell us.
All right, I'll tell you. You're up against... Nothing but an amateur. You'll find that out.
Maybe we both will.
Now, look, gents.
Hold it, Edna. Leave this to me. Don't say a thing.
I'll leave it to you, all right. I'm saying plenty.
So is Mrs. Alexander.
I see. Laura?
Yes?
You want a piece of advice, you'll keep your mouth closed.
Is that advice as an attorney, Walter, or as a friend?
As both.
Well, I'll try to follow it. Only...
Only what?
Only I'm afraid I haven't quite got the willpower, Walter. That's what.
Come on, coppers. Let's get it over with.
With the signed statement of Laura Alexander, the wheels of justice turned quickly in dealing with Walter Merritt and his co-conspirator. As an accessory to the crime, Edna Fergal was tried and convicted, going to women's prison for a 4-year term. Merritt met with harsher treatment. Barred for life from the practice of law, he was, in addition, sentenced on separate counts to prison terms totaling 21 years, thus permanently destroying his willpower.
Remember, friends, to help keep your mouth feeling fresh and clean, chew Wrigley's Spearmint Gum. There's lots of lively, refreshing flavor in it, and you can chew a stick just about any time and any place. Then, too, while you're sinking your teeth into this good-tasting gum, the natural chewing action is helping to keep your teeth clean and bright. Next time you're at the store, get some packages of Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum. Get plenty for your whole family, because Wrigley's Spearmint Gum is a perfect all-family treat. Healthful, refreshing, delicious. In tonight's story, Betty Gard played the part of Edna Fergal and Paul McGrath was Walter Merritt. This radio dramatization for the FBI in Peace and War was written by Jack Anson Fink. These programs are produced and directed by Betty Mandeville. All names and characters used on the program are fictitious. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental. This program is based upon Frederick L. Collins' copyrighted book, The FBI in Peace and War. And the broadcast does not imply endorsement, authorization, or approval by the Federal Bureau of Investigation. The makers of Wrigley's Spearmint Gum, the refreshing, delicious treat that gives you real chewing enjoyment, invite you to listen to next Wednesday's story, 30-1, on the FBI in Peace and War. Same time, same station.
This is the CBS Radio Network.
Say there, you vacation-minded.